Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem BPM number 93. That's by Pliny Shear for Men, Shear number 93. We talked about the great seeds, chemistry, compatibility, and commitment, and how you could achieve them all. Commitment, which we ended off with last time, was to try your best to commit to meet the needs of your wife most of the time. And to work with each other to meet each other's needs. And to it's okay to express your own needs. Doesn't mean they'll be met all the time. But you promised each other the availability. The availability of that in the commitment. And there's a clear concerning commitment in every healthy marriage. What each one is expected from one another. And they work it through. They sense a certain we-ness, meaning we are individuals too, but we're part of a unit as well. They focus on their own happiness, but the well-being of the relationship overall. And when that feeling of love is not strong right now, you're in a normal lull, like a little bit of a low, don't let that make you spiral downward. It's just the idea is this is where commitment kicks in. You do what's best for the marriage and what's best for your wife, whether you feel like it or whether you don't feel like it. It's a commitment goes beyond the person. It transcends all the highs and the lows of love. Whatever it takes, I'll make it this work and to work on the relationship. And to bring satisfaction to the relationship. And to appreciate my wife better. So you have mixed priorities. Basically things that are confusing. Some people may have chemistry or the sexual aspects as high priority in their relationship. And the other one holds stronger the compatibility or friendship part of the relationship. There are some people that the main thing is to have that commitment. And the other one, the commitment is not as strong. They just want compatibility. So there's always this different preference with each person, what they gravitate towards in defining what the relationship is. But the idea being is if you recognize that all of them are important and you guide yourself towards that with your wife, then everything will work out. The key is you be clear, you express things with clarity. You're reasonable about whatever you're requesting. You're flexible. You're not rigid. And you are just simply fair. Communicating honestly with yourself as well as with your wife. Being specific. So, for example, I want you to be more thoughtful. It's too vague of an expression. Help out around the house. It's also vague. What help specifically? I want you to be more intimate with me. What does intimacy mean? I want you to support me. I want you to care for me. I want you to be more romantic. And again, the healthy aspects of romanticism. All these expressions I just said are too vague. It's important when a husband and wife talks to each other and expresses their needs, they need to do this in a way that's more specific. Specific in language. I really want you to come with me shopping in this and this day. I would love it if you show your thoughtfulness and get up a little earlier with the children on Shabbos and let me sleep a little longer till you go to shul. Even tell me what you did today. You talk to each other and you discuss, okay, what happened today? In other words, basically the idea is your wife could only satisfy you if she has a clear idea of what you want and vice versa. So that's one idea, to be very clear. The next idea is to be reasonable. Reasonable means you get your expectations in line with what reality is. When you get unrealistic expectations in your life, that is one of the biggest causes of dissatisfaction in your marriage. I'm going to repeat that again. Unrealistic expectations is one of the biggest causes of dissatisfaction in a marriage. Basically, you're lacking the hasameach b'chelka, you're being happy in your lot. Expecting your wife to have the same desires as you, to think the same way you do, to focus on your needs and not the other way around, that that you should focus on her needs is not a priority, that's unrealistic, and that leads to dissatisfaction. So sometimes, you know, when your husband's not, or your wife is not interested in a particular subject, and you go to a family member, and they listen to you, sometimes it's a healthy thing. You can't get everything from one person. That's also important to know. In other words, your wife is not your chavrusa, so when it comes to that type of co-learning and things like that, you don't use your wife for that. But they both understand that. Being flexible means that you have the willingness and the ability to change the way you relate to each other as the need arises. Flexibility means being able to roll with the punches. That's a strong predictor of happiness and stability. And that's how you stay with someone past the infatuation stage. Needs change. And with changes comes expectation and honoring those changes. So to have that flexibility is very important. And to be equitable, which means fear. To be fair and realistic about the expectations in your marriage. Which means, like what we said, sometimes you need to delay your own gratification to please your wife. Go the second mile. To take pleasure in giving just as you take pleasure in receiving. That creates a deeper bond of love and satisfaction. People say, when it comes to chemistry, compatibility, and commitment, I want it all. I want a relationship with lots of sexual spark in it. I want my wife to be my best friend. I want us to live happily ever in a long-term commitment. And this takes time, energy, and effort. Of course, davening for siyata d'shmaya. That relationship has to be priority to you over the job, over the career, even over your own children and most outside activities, almost all outside activities. In some ways, eis lasis l'Hashem, even above your learning schedules. There are couples who do this, and they choose priorities and accept that there are times where, for example, the sexual aspects will not be so exciting. Whatever the reasons are, you stick with it anyway. Say I love you, whether right now you feel it or not, but you know that's how you're supposed to feel, and the feeling will come. And then we go to the concept of building trust. True love is built on a foundation of trust, an emes, a ne'emanus, a loyalty. What holds together couples when they're apart from each other because of distance, they have to travel, or busyness, or other commitments? Trust. Satisfied couples keep the faith even if there is no immediate evidence that there's a faithfulness there. The confidence grows out of trust that they build between each other. New couples eager to commit sometimes rush past the building trust stage. Now we date, but the idea is the concept of trust has to be strong in their minds while they're dating as part of a priority in marriage to create through the trust a strong connection that will upstand and withstand all the highs and lows of love. One of the concepts in Shara Bitachon of Chayvus Alvavos, to believe in Hashem, is to believe that you could trust Him implicitly, that He could fulfill all your needs, and He could do everything and anything for you. That secures the relationship. So, if you could be married for many years, but without that firm foundation of trust, there'll be a lot of dissatisfaction. And if you peel away the layers of dissatisfaction in a marriage, lack of trust is often at the shayrish of it, is at the root of it. So Pat Love is interesting. She was interviewing people pertaining to this idea of trust. Ask people in a seminar, how would you define trust? So one handsome macho type guy said, oh, trust is letting your wife go out with your friends to a bar and know that she's not going to commit adultery. Now, obviously, that's not what you do. But the truth is, from this comment, there is truth to it, that many of us associate trust first and foremost with the concept of fidelity, that you'll stick to your wife regardless, and you'll be sexually faithful to your wife. And that's an important way to build trust, Shmir Seinayim, and so on. One would say trust is having complete confidence in your husband. It was a woman that said this. Confidence in the relationship grows with consistency over time. Reliability, dependability, which builds up true trust. Another one said trust is being able to depend on a person to understand and support you no matter what. Now, how do you build trust? She asked the group of people there. One of them said honesty over time. The other one said being there to share the bad times as well as the good times. The next one said getting really, really to know your husband or wife very, very well. Another one said being honest about the not so nice stuff. It takes, you know, if they take that risk, they'll be trustworthy, meaning sometimes it's necessary to talk about more uncomfortable topics or telling your husband or wife what you need. It seems that we build trust by telling the truth, by being faithful, by sharing even the hard times with each other, just as the good times, meeting each other's needs more often than not meeting each other's needs. She said, interesting, Pat Love, I think this book was done in the early 2000s, 2001, not that long ago. And at that point in time, which is about 22 years ago, roughly, there were very few books on marriage about the trust aspect of it, of building trust. But that is the most critical issue between a husband and a wife. Without trust in the relationship, you live in constant anxiety, which can lead to conflicts and to stress and to compulsiveness and so on and so forth. So it's very, very important to do this. It's very, very important to work on the building of the trust. And we'll discuss more about it as Hashem in the upcoming shiur. So remember again the commitment concept, to have all of these chemistry, compatibility, and commitment in the right way. We talked about the importance of being clear, of being reasonable, of being flexible, and to be fair, and the idea of building trust and loyalty in a marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.